Blog Talk Radio.
There and you see somebody in uniform, please let them know that you know they're there. These are very, very difficult times for men and women in uniform, both in domestic and in foreign lands. So please let them know that we know that they're there. Tonight's program is dedicated to a young lady who I had the pleasure of teaching at Chester High School many, many years ago. And unfortunately, yesterday morning, she went on to have a nice life, got married, had four kids, and went on the Chester Police Force. And unfortunately, in the station yesterday, she had a heart attack and passed away. So this is going out to Bronnell Lee and her family, and with our deepest respect and gratitude for her service. Well, guys, it's really going to be a sparse season here if we don't get back on the ring here soon. everything, you know, all the coronavirus that is going around has canceled everything, or at least postponed stuff. Arthur Bedlev was supposed to fight tonight. Next week. But that's been postponed now till July. What do you think of that fight?
He talked about Arthur Bedlev. Last time we saw him, he was beating Gross, the nail. And a fight to where Bedlev, he's had injury problems throughout his career. He's been dangerous to me. And there was a time where he was on track, you would say, to fight Kovalev when Kovalev was of some dominance, was of light heavyweight dominance. With that said, right now, Bedlev is one of the dangerous guys in light heavyweight, it's looking like, because he went ahead and dethroned, you know, the nail. And we know the nail is the guy who unfortunately put Adonis Stevens in a bad state, unfortunately. But back to Bedlev, he's a guy to where he's not the smoothest boxer, but he's a hard man. And in saying that, I mean, you find guys who you know, throughout the history of boxing, when you can find guys who could, you know, just kind of that you don't want that everything physical that you deal with them hurts you. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's almost like everything you do to them, it's you're doing it to you. The guy's so hard and so aggressive. I mean, that it's just every bit of contact it wears on you. I mean, he's a hard puncher. Guy could take a shot. He's not a stupid boxer by any means. He knows how to get his power in there. He has a pretty good jab. Doesn't move his head that well, but I mean, he parries punches pretty good. Wicked body puncher. Guy who can break you down to, or and he has a pretty good one punch pop too. I see him being dangerous with anybody, but. He can be outboxed. I mean, he still has holes. He's still a guy who has holes. Now, is anyone able to withstand what he has to outbox him? That's yet to be determined. But I like Bedlev. I like what he brings to the table. Mm-hmm. I just wish that he didn't have those injury problems so we could have seen a lot more of his career in the past. But he looks pretty good now.
Yeah. So the guy you just described is, were you talking about Bedlev or were you talking about Dr. Chris? Because that sounded like Dr. Chris in his heyday.
Let me tell you, at one time, Bedlev weighed 300 pounds. And he was really heavy, and he came down to his weight. You say he's a big man. He was a big bone guy. And he took all that weight off, started boxing, and he is pretty damn good. And he wears you the hell out, too. I know what you're saying. He wears you out fighting him. I know. Mm-hmm. But he's not cut. He's not built. He doesn't look like much of a fighter. But he's a lot better than he looks. So, you know, you can get on his bandwagon, I guess. He looks like he should win. He should win this next fight.
Yeah.
You know?
Good.
I only came from 200 down to 160, Frank. I didn't come from 300.
Okay. Yeah, but
that's not bad.
I mean,
that's not bad.
You know. Oh boy. So anyway, I'm tired of watching reruns of everything. I know that.
Yeah.
You guys are talking about nothing's on. Christ, I watched Rio's fight last night. A rerun. It had to be 4 years old. We're back that far. I'm catching all the reruns. I'm catching up on everything I missed. And I must have seen Dante Wilder fight Ortiz 50 times. And then we all had to eat crow on that Hopnecki fight, that big, tall Man, we were dead wrong on that, weren't we?
Yeah,
where the hell
I mean,
that guy come from?
Well, it wasn't even him. To be honest, I mean, Kanaki was doing what he normally does, but it looked like he got too confident in the fact that he could easily hit Hellenius. And I mean, sometimes you can easily hit a guy, you forsake, you know, yourself. You just open up so much that you don't even worry about moving your head or parrying shots or putting a glove in the way of your face. I mean, and it looked like he got hit a few times and was like, oh, that's nothing. I'm going to keep hitting on him. And I just caught him with a good shot. You know, he's wide open for it. I mean, they both were open, but you catching a shot from a big guy like that is a heavyweight. So, you know, you leave your chin open, anybody could get you. So, and that's how it happened to him. He couldn't recover.
Yeah, that guy is.
I mean,
he's tall, big man. He's a big man.
He's a big man. Let me just say,
like 6'7".
And the other guy, he's very easy to hit. He squares up too fast, and he jabs at you with the right hand. He's left hand. I mean, he's a right-handed fighter, and he jabs with his right hand. He's got a lot of defensive flaws. I mean, he's got a lot, but I didn't think it was that bad that he would get conked out so early like that. But I guess
I think he's a little better defensively than what was shown, but he think he came in kind of underestimating his opponent, and he during the fight he kind of got a little overconfident to me, and that'll get you. Gotta respect
him
at all times.
Yeah. He must have listened to our show. Found out we all picked him.
Like,
all these guys,
you
know, this week, I listened to them guys, I got my ass kicked. Ah, crazy.
It was
entertaining while it lasted anyway.
Yeah.
And the preliminaries of that fight were good.
Mm-hmm.
There's some good preliminaries on that fight.
Yeah. Hey, Bob, why did it take Dana White so long to cancel his fights? Or was it because the California and Nevada Athletic Commission finally came in and said they're stopping all combat sports? Or did he just didn't want to do it?
Right. I would assume something with the mass gatherings or something like that. But that goes, there's Khabib and Ferguson are scheduled for April, and that's still on. He said 7 hours ago, Dana White came out, and I was really impressed with him. You know, Dr. Chris, don't worry. I might have to make a UFC fan out of you or whatever. But Dana said I have people to feed. Like other corporations are laying people off. All the people are here. All of our people are still working. Everyone will still have the thing. He goes, if we can't have the Khabib-Ferguson fight here, he goes, it might be out of country. He goes, might only have 10 people in the room. You know, he wants to go out of his way to make sure that happens, because Khabib and Ferguson have been put off, I think, about four times.
Mm-hmm.
So Dana, canceled the fight nights, the smaller cards and stuff, kind of leading up to that. But I think he's focusing on that one right now with Khabib and Ferguson. I think it's April 18th. He said, if he can't have it here, he'll take it somewhere else. Keep the fighters working. He said in a statement like 7 hours ago, like, all my fighters that work with me are under contracts, and they will get their three fights each this next year, you know. So whether he's got to do them back-to-back or I don't know how he's going to do that. But so I was really impressed with that, him coming out with that. So, again, I don't think he there's many people out there that, aren't understanding the social distancing is so we can squash that curve. Do it, that kind of stuff. And he might have one of those, FU kind of attitudes with the whole thing, but at least he's planning on keeping his fighters going. So I was impressed with that. And like I said, if they got to separate these people and only have, 10 people ringside and bring them out and then just do it all on pay-per-view, I don't know. But it says that's going to happen as of now. So
I was surprised that he waited so long to cancel the or postpone, I should say, the Colby Covington fight with Tyrone Willie. I mean, that was up until – it was supposed to go off tonight. And up until, I think it was Monday, it was still on.
Right. And so, and again, like, he's got that attitude that he's just going to keep pushing forward. But again, you know, you've got to be cautious, and you've got to take, you know, what the CDC and stuff says and take it to heart. But, you know, hey, it's still, you know, you can have smaller events. You can still put it on pay-per-view or whatever like that. I don't know. I'm sure he'll – I mean, everyone's stuck in their house. They're looking for something to watch. You know, he put on a list of all different sports, pretty much, you know, down to bowling, curling, you know, everything is canceled. And he's like, we'll be the first sport back on TV, you know. So that, again, that's a 7 hour ago kind of coming out of Dana White's mouth. So,
you know, I was never a big Dana White fan, but I think that I have a lot more respect for him at this point because Feld Entertainment, which is the Disney on Ice, it's the Barnum and Bailey Circus, it's the what do they call those hot rod cars. They came in. People went to work yesterday morning. As they went in the gate, they were given a slip of paper, and the slip of paper said that due to the coronavirus, we don't know how long it's going to be, but everybody is furloughed immediately. No warning, no nothing. Just that was it.
Yeah, so that's crazy. I mean, people gotta get their money. You know, people still gotta get paid, pay rent, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. There's 1,200 people out of work. So
I
applaud him for that. But go ahead, Chris. You had something to say.
Well, no, I was listening to Dana White. They were doing an interview. He said, "We're gonna fight somewhere." He goes, "Las Vegas isn't the only city in this country." I mean, he was really annoyed. He said, "We're going to put something on here. We can't put up with this. Las Vegas isn't the only place. I can take my show anywhere." So I guess he's had it, you know.
Sure.
And you can get pretty disgusted. I was watching tonight, two deaths in Pennsylvania for this virus. All right, how many people died of the normal virus? Viruses that we have. Probably a ton more. So what the hell is going on? I mean, I'm looking at two guys dying. We're probably 100,000. I mean, thousands died from the flu. Older men and all. You know. So I'm wondering, are we getting hoaxed on this a little bit, or is this an overreaction? I haven't figured it out yet. Now, in Italy, the medicine's so bad over there, they're not prepared for anything. Christ, you know, an ingrown toenail will kill you in Italy. you know, the medical profession is really ass backwards over there. I hate to say it about my former country, but they are bad. And they're not prepared for anything. And they're killing everybody over 79 with 99% of the people that died were over 79, and they have no chance over there. They don't know what they're doing. I mean, this new drug that's out, Frank, you're familiar with it. It's the old Z-Pack plus the malaria drug.
Yeah, it's the old erythromycin and the drying agent, chlorpheniramine.
I mean, it's got good prospects. Trump's all enthused about it, and that little guy Fauci, he got to get everything. Time Trump says something, he breaks his stones, you know. He likes to aggravate Trump, I think, because he's only about 5 foot tall. He stands up there and he gets up there.
Yeah.
He's got the limelight now, you know.
Yeah,
I get a kick out of him, but I don't know where it's all going to end. They say in 3 weeks it's all going to be over. I don't know that the flu is going to disappear that fast. I was looking the other night, the Hong Kong flu. I caught that over the jail, and they were going to quarantine it after I left. And this is pretty common coming out of China.
Sure.
That killed a lot of people in this country, the Hong Kong flu. So that's got to be 40 years ago. But they've been doing this forever, you know, and then don't let it out. Next thing you know, the whole damn United States got it. But Well, I can understand Dana White. He's, you know, he's making a living a certain way. All those guys are in there training. They're mm-hmm. working hard. You know, it's different when a guy, like my neighbor, he got laid off. You know, he had a job. He had a good job, an hourly job. The kid, he came up. He said, I got laid off. You're not going to believe it. I got laid off. I said, why wouldn't I believe it? They're going to shut down a lot of businesses. And he was all disappointed. But it's different when you're training hard and you're in great condition and they cancel a fight on you. That's very, very, very nerve-wracking to a fighter. And they keep postponing it. You know, after a while, you don't feel like fighting. You get disgusted. So I think Dana White's, you know where he's coming from anyway. You know? He's always favored Las Vegas. I think he could just as well put those shows on, you know, anywhere in his country. I think, you know, there's plenty of arenas for that. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Z, what do you think of, is the Pedroza's fight going to come off? Pedroza's Hooker fight on the April 17th?
To be honest, I don't know if I'm going to say kind of hold my sentiments with Dr. Chris. Don't know how long this is going to last. So I'm just going to hold that answer if the fight's going to come off in limbo, just like everything else right now. But really, that's a pretty good matchup. More, you know, so you're trying to kind of want to keep Pedraza in the limelight. Because, I mean, outside of that Tank Davis loss, who Tank Davis is looking like he's, you know, appearing to be pretty good. Well, I mean, Pedraza, he lost to Lomachenko, but he put up a very, very good effort. He put up a very good effort. So, I mean, he's a guy that he has skill. He's a decent guy. He's championship quality. But, I mean, he's not the toughest guy. And he tends to lose focus at times. The most focus I've ever saw him was when he fought Lomachenko. He was extremely focused, gave Lomachenko all sorts of trouble. Didn't really commit himself to lay anything on Lomachenko. He fought as he was the less durable man. But, I mean, he fought extremely, extremely smart. Very intelligent. He went in and fought Tank Davis like he didn't have a brain in his head. I don't understand what he was thinking when he fought Tank. He fought a guy named Tank, and you try to play a Tank with him. Pedraza also, to me, has a loss against our friend Edna Cherry that he got a victory decision on. And I saw that fight, and that fight led me to say, Pedraza's very skilled, but he's not that durable. I mean, he's not that durable, and he doesn't like it like that. So, I mean, the guy, he's not the toughest boxer, which, I mean, that's a thing to say. I mean, but, I mean, he's an extremely, extremely skilled guy. So, I mean, he's a guy that, you know, I like seeing the box. I mean, what he did to Beltran was beautiful to me. So,
okay. Chris, what do you think?
You know what? I can't add much to what he just said. He covered it pretty well. I'm just sitting there thinking about a fight I saw in the quadrangle, called the quadrangle. The guy got hit with a butt right in the middle of his forehead, and he had a vertical cut down his skin. That's for it. There was blood all over the ring floor. There was blood on all the fighters. I didn't know who the hell was bleeding, where they were bleeding from. It was all over the floor, and the guy was tough. He kept getting up, and they'd go back to his corner, he'd pat it down. They got some decent cut men in that corner now of those fights. And I'm trying to think of the name of the guy. Very entertaining fight, though. It showed a lot of heart, a lot of guts on both sides. And, but damn, I never saw so much blood in my life since Tony Galento fought. You know, when he had 150 stitches in his face.
Was it
Badu recently?
Jack?
Yeah. Wasn't that long? No, no.
Wasn't Badu Jack
an MMA fight.
Oh.
This was an MMA fight. And they were on the floor, and you know, his head, I can't think of the guy's name. I just saw it last night. And that guy had the floor covered with blood. Everything was covered with blood. Had a vertical cut at least an inch and a half long right in the front of his forehead. Man, and then he had one up in his scalp. And you didn't know where it was coming from.
But yeah, I can't remember.
They hung in there and fought one hell of a fight. I thought, boy, what a gutsy performance on both sides. You know? You know, when you turn them on, you don't see the first initial weigh in and all that. You don't watch. You don't see it. Just flicking your TV around. You don't get the guy's name, and next you never do get it right. You know,
yeah. Bob, you got any idea?
I can't think of it.
Bob.
No, I can't. I can't remember who it is. I vaguely, I'm kind of looking
because it was a rerun. I don't know what date it was. You know, it was a rerun. It wasn't that long ago. But
as long as we're talking about MMA, Bob, how about tell us about the Nunez fight coming up with Cyborg?
Well, I don't know if they've locked that down. Now, the thing is, because Cyborg left the UFC, her contract was up after she lost to Nunez. The first time they got together, you know, Cyborg thinks she's all that. Nunez just took it to her, just pommeled her. And, you know, some got the knockout, so didn't go out of the first round. And I think really surprised Cyborg. But then right after that, you know, her contract was up. She went to Bellator. Now, she immediately says that she went over there and asked, you know, the guy who runs Bellator if there's possible for doing a crossover somewhere down the line. But, you know, I was looking into that today, too. I don't know if Dana is going to go out of his way to put that together. I think Cyborg is just trying to, you know, because she lost. She lost bad. So she's trying to, you know, hey, I'd love to do that fight again kind of thing. So we'll see if it happens. I didn't know they had anything scheduled. But I hear there's rumors there, you know, Cyborg's talking about it and tries to put it together. So.
Good.
Well, how old is Cyborg now? How old is she? She's been around a while.
3 year difference. Nunez is 30, I think, and Cyborg's like 33. Yeah. Cyborg's been fighting since she's, you know, early 20s and stuff. She's just a big girl.
Yeah.
Strong athlete and stuff and doing well. So, I mean, she's been around a good grip of time, jumping back and forth through different promotions.
I remember when she beat the hell out of that poor, good-looking girl, Carano.
Gina Carano.
Oh, man, she got shellacked. Yeah, she beat my girlfriend up. I wanted to jump in there and help her. Oh, man, she got a whipping. She got an ass whipping on that good-looking girl.
You can tell. You guys can tell that his wife's not around. Elaine would be kicking his ass right now.
She was a knockout, though. Damn, she was good looking. And I knew that was a while back. And I'm thinking, that when I saw Cyborg, I said, somebody better get in the shower, check her out in the shower. She looked like a man out there. God damn, she was rough. Tough and mean on top of it, you know. And she's still fighting. She doesn't look like she's lost that much. That's what I'm amazed at. Doesn't look like she's lost that much. So, well, we'll see what happens.
Hey, Chris, while we got you on, about talking about Roger Mayweather and his passing this last week here.
Well, you know, I remember when he fought. He was a lightweight, if I remember. Nothing, you know. I'm not going to say anything, you know. He was a good fighter, a good boxer, and you know. But he best thing he did was, you know, train Floyd and work with Floyd and the father, get in the middle and do all that stuff. But you know, he had a good position. How old was he that he died so young? Well, he was not old. 40s. He got to be in his 40s, right?
No.
Yeah, I think he's older than that. I thought he was closer to 59.
Really?
Zeke? Zeke, what's your thought?
It's unfortunate. And, you know, we, you know, I'll, you know, give a send our best wishes out to the family and everything.
Yeah.
No passing's ever good. Roger Mayweather, what he was, he was a pretty good fighter. He was a pretty good fighter. He was the champion fighter. He lost, really, he didn't lose. He lost to the best, to be honest. He was a guy who, he was a champion and only the best beat him. But for the most part, that's who beat him. I mean, he didn't beat everybody. He lost to Chavez. He lost to, I think, like Buddy McGurk or somebody. He lost to some pretty good guys. He was brilliant with Floyd. And more than anything, he was brilliant in managing Floyd. With that said, Floyd, he's a guy who was raised by his uncle and his father, essentially. And these guys were guys, they were tough fighters in the 70s, 80s. And back then, that was the equivalent of having a gun now on the streets. So, and Roger Mayweather and Floyd Sr., these guys were in the streets, to be honest. I mean, just to talk, Roger Mayweather was in the streets, during his life. Floyd helped him out just as much as he helped Floyd out. So, I mean, and he made the best of it. He made the best of what he had. So that's the most I can say.
That's a nice way of putting it. That's exactly how I felt. He wasn't handed in life. He wasn't handed an easy life. And he made the best out of what he could. And then I think he reached his peak and was more successful helping Floyd than he was with himself almost.
Absolutely.
And he happened to come around in a tough era. He was a lightweight fighter and in a tough era. There were some tough fighters around. He couldn't beat all those guys. There were some tough guys.
Okay.
That's a damn shame. And I thought he was younger than that.
Yeah.
We just lost Kenny Rogers tonight.
Yeah.
Just found out he passed. He was 81. It looked like he'd go on forever.
Yeah. Yeah, he'd just taken all that weight off and was really had changed his habits and was really doing well. But unfortunately, he passed away. Lyle Waggoner from Mary Tyler Moore show also passed away yesterday.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But hey, Bob, tell our listeners that we got UFC 249 coming up, and one of the big shows on that one's going to be Khabib and Ferguson. Can you enlighten our folks about that?
Yeah, that's going to be a heck of a fight there. Khabib, is very good on the ground, and Ferguson's got great, takedown defense. Ferguson is a great striker. It's well anticipated fight. Definitely worth watching, tuning into. Because again, if there's somebody that's really got a chance against Khabib, it's kind of Ferguson. At least that's what they're saying. I mean, Ferguson, he's just a real rounded fighter. Khabib, I think, is just a dominating, factor when it comes to the wrestling. So he better not, again, you don't want to go where somewhere else is good. So he shouldn't stand up and fight with Ferguson. But again, that bit of ego and stuff will probably get him up there. And again, everyone's, going off for that purse for fight of the night, that kind of stuff. So we'll see what happens. It'll be really exciting. And then on the back burner of that, you've got Justin Gaethje, who's a fantastic wrestler, who would be next on deck, and he wants the winner of those two coming up. So it'll be a very, very fantastic fight. It's like, but with the bars being closed, I don't know where to get, I'll have to walk to the home, I guess.
Hey, what's Khabib weigh? What does he weigh?
I'm not sure off the top of my head. I'm going to say about 160.
160, because, you know, when they keep changing the weights as compared to boxing, you know, they'll say lightweight, and the guy weighs 165 pounds, you know? I get mixed up on what they weigh. Pretty strong-looking guy. You know,
me with the boxing, Chris, because we only had, back in my day, there was no weight class, and then it broke into three, and then they, you know, the boxing commission got in, and they broke it up even more by 10 to 15 pounds or so. And so when you guys are talking your boxing weights, it really throws me off as well.
Yeah, I imagine it does. These guys look awful big for when you say, here's a middleweight. Christ, he looks like a former heavyweight of, years ago. Big, heavy, thick chest, big muscle, and I'm thinking, But look at the size of the heavyweights. Holy Jesus. They're so damn big. My God. I get a kick out of the guy from Cleveland, the big guy from Cleveland, natural. He didn't lift weights. He looked like he never lifted a weight in his life. A Polish name type name. He was champion, heavyweight champion for a while. Not recently, not that long ago. He was a hell of a fighter.
Steve Bank.
Anyway, 247 without even lifting a weight.
Stipe Miocic.
Yeah, big guy.
He just got it back from Daniel Cormier.
Right.
He just won it back, yep.
Yeah, he won it back. Cormier's too small for him. Looked like he didn't belong in that weight class. Cormier, when he fought, he weighed what, 200 in the low 200s or high 190s? He was never a full heavyweight.
He was
so skillful that he got away with it.
Well, he started out full heavyweight. He started out full heavyweight, and he was actually on a path to become the heavyweight champion. He was undefeated on a nice streak, but he never he didn't want to fight for the heavyweight champion because at the time Cain Velasquez was the champion, and him and Cain come from the same was American Top Team, if I'm correct, and they came from the same camp, and they're like really really good friends. So he didn't want to fight Kane. So he why he actually moved down to light heavyweight. So and then after Kane, he lost the heavyweight belt, and Cormier thought he was getting a little heavy for light heavyweight, and kind of just taking all of that weight off. Then he just went ahead back to heavyweight.
Mhm. A skillful guy for what? Skillful.
Smart.
You could see it.
Smart.
World of difference
Smart.
Between him and the other guys. World of difference.
Smart.
And he hung around for a long time. He's no young kid anymore.
He kind of started late.
Yeah. You know what? It seemed like by the time you learn how to do your version of karate or whatever, this and that. You got to put your wrestling together with all your other moves that you learn from the other. None of these guys are kids. It takes a long while to put all that together and be effective in a ring. It seems like they're all 27, 28 years old. They're just starting out because there's so much to learn, about all of the individual type, combat sports that you have to put together. And, some guys stick with what brought them there. Brock Lesnar and guys like that, they were just pure wrestlers. He never had any other moves. I just saw him wrestling in college. They had him running. I just saw the NCAA championship when he was a young man. He was big then, same damn size he is now. He didn't walk right through the college ranks. He's a big guy.
Dr. Chris, one thing about MMA, too, is it's a lot easier to stay undefeated in boxing. It's to get matchups and everything. It's a lot easier to stay undefeated in boxing. In MMA, you're going to lose. I don't pick Khabib in this fight just because I think his time is just coming up, and he's fighting a guy who could clock him out as far as his undefeated record. He could get him off of it.
Yeah.
it's just, I just think that it, in MMA, you see it all the time. Guys that can be on the street,
yeah,
they're going to lose. The best of guys have losses on that record. Easy.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't, and that's one thing. MMA, it kind of doesn't matter. You know, they're not going to pump like John Jones. You know, the stars. You know, as far as that goes, that's how they get, you know, their money. But
mm-hmm.
really, the best guys have losses. I mean, that's just how it is.
Yeah, it's almost impossible, you know, with the holds and all that, all the various holds they have, and the fact they might get kicked in the jaw.
That's anything to happen.
Holy Christ, you could be the world champion for 100 fights, somebody kicks you in the jaw and gets a lucky one, you know, lucky one there, you're going out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. What do you think about
full,
that, Bob?
Full force.
Yeah, I agree with Z. I mean, if Ferguson's got a chance, if anybody's got a chance to take out Khabib, you know what I mean? So Khabib's got to be smart about it, but he's going to go out there and probably be all testosterone filled. But then, you know, kind of trying to explain, you know, to Dr. Chris, like one thing, a lot of these kids anymore with MMA, and it really evolved, you know, back way in the day, everyone had a moniker. They were coming in jiu-jitsu or taekwondo or wrestler or boxer or whatever, trying to prove their art. And then it kind of molded over time, and everyone realized, like, you know, because the jiu-jitsu guys were dominating. Then the wrestlers came in and kept everyone down. Mm-hmm. So, and then my coach, Maurice Smith, was the first one to, you know, knock out one of the wrestlers with a head kick, get kicked in the mouth, right? And everyone's tough. And then, so he took down, you know, Mark Coleman. And then everyone was like, wow, you really got to be well-rounded. So it put, you know, me, I'm more of a striker. I like that kind of stuff, you know. Frank, a pitcher during the, you know, they shut the gym down. I got no workout. So I made a sign with my rolls of toilet paper that says, you know, fight me. You can beat me. You can have it, you know, looking for.
So, I saw that picture.
You know, having fun with it. Yeah, these kids nowadays, you know, they're wrestling from, you know, high school, grade school, all the way up through college, and then they, you know, they run out of stuff to do if you weren't that good of wrestling, but still, you know, competitive, you know, out of high school, and if you didn't go on to college, well, they're looking for something, and then they usually do really good jumping into the jiu-jitsu, and then when they're working on the ground, it's just kind of second nature for them, and then everyone's always got to learn to stand up and fight, you know, and so like that is, you can't take any way against a pugilist, you know, a boxer. Those hands, those are well-defined hands, and they've been years and years of study and practice. But the MMA fighters don't have, like, necessarily the record the boxers do. Boxers be having, you know, 20, 30, 40, 60, 100 amateur fights before they go pro. MMA guys looking to, you know, do as little fighting as they have to before they get in there because of the cuts, because of the elbows, because of the knees. There's just so many tools. Toolbox, you know, that you can open people up. I was looking up when you were talking about it, like the bloodiest fights you were talking about. I wanted to pop head, like BJ Penn against Joe Stevenson. I can't tell how long ago you watched this, but they've got, you know, look up the top 10 bloodiest UFC fights or MMA fights, and man, there's just a fantastic list. But then also coming from the fighter aspect of that. I've been down the ground and had elbows delivered to my face, busted my nose open, where blood pools in your eyes. You can't see, but you still want to fight. You know, you can fight with a broken nose. And I, you know, I go back out there, but the problem is, you know, you get in that spot, you're like slipping on your own blood. It's like sticky yet slippery.
Yeah.
It's smart, you know? But again, it's that fighter's mentality. So, MMA, you know, you've got to be well-rounded anymore. You know, you gotta have heart. You gotta be a little kind of crazy, I guess, to get in the ring with anybody. I think, you know, or competitive. But yeah, I mean, it's a great sport. It's evolved terrifically. I'm kind of, you know, I'm proud to be, you know, in it from way back in the day. And I love to see it's, you know, maturing and coming into a contending sport. You know that. You know, because we used to make jokes back in the day that those people that French curling, you know, you broom the ice, you get paid more than we did. Yeah, go ahead.
They used to get robbed. They robbed those guys those days.
Mm-hmm.
Still, disgrace.
You know, but it's evolving and it's getting better and it's getting more mainstream. And I hope to see it, you know, come out of this. I know just like America will come out of this coronavirus better than ever. Mm-hmm. Just consider it a practice run. There's a lot more deadly stuff out there than coronavirus. So, but again, you know, I just hopefully we get some sports back on TV sooner than later.
Hey, Bob, a few minutes ago you talked about Khajiit. I understand that they're trying to put a McGregor Khajiit fight, Justin Khajiit fight together. Is that a possibility?
That I would like to see McGregor have to work his way up. I watched an interview with Gaethje earlier. He said he'll go where the money's at. He don't care. He wants the winner out of the Ferguson and Khabib, but he'll go where the money's at. You know, that's just in his interview. I mean, he couldn't have said it more plain. Like, I'm here for the money. Like, that it's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's certain guys that are out there for the, I don't know, quote unquote, what you call respect, or but those are the guys that you can get riled up on Facebook. You know, so it's bottom dollar is coming down. We don't have, you know, like the NFL got freaking retirement, you know, now and all, you know, all this stuff,
right.
Pensions, and, you know, we don't have that. I got lucky enough to marry up, so that's my retirement.
That's great. Hey, see, we got Carl Frampton wants to get back in the ring in a few weeks with Jamal Herring. What's your thoughts on that one?
I like Frampton. Frampton has, to me, he has reached his peak. He might be on the bottom slide on that one. But Frampton is an exciting fighter. I love watching him fight. He's a smart fighter. He's crafty, tough, and he's resourceful. And a guy like that, I mean, you see him fight many styles. He had trouble with Campbell. But, I mean, you see him fight many styles, and, you know, it's kind of entertaining to see him, you know, just something. He's all over the place a lot of times. He'll go at a guy that he can go at. He'll box on the back foot. I mean, I like Frampton. I like him.
Good.
He's tough. The first time I saw Frampton, I thought, my God, this guy better go back to boxing school again. And then after I watched him, his awkward style was the best thing about him. It won him more damn fights than it, you know. He had that awkward style. Nobody could figure it out. He went a long damn way, and he beat some damn good fighters with that awkward style. And it looked like he was never in the right position to punch, but everything worked out for him, you know. So I think I don't know what, you know, what he's got left. You know, sometimes the comeback is hard.
Yeah.
I mean, he fought some damn good fighters over the years, and he was at it. He was on top for a long while. I don't know how long he could retain that status, you know, that he once had. But it'd be interesting to see it again, to see him fight again.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when he fought that guy. He used to put his hands in front of his face. Abraham. You remember him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Frampton fought him. I thought Abraham was going to kill him.
Abraham.
He beat the hell out of Abraham.
Yeah.
With them looping punches off to the side, like roundhouse shots. He didn't hit him between the eyes where the gloves were. He hit him on behind the ear, alongside the ear, whacked him around pretty good. When they had that middleweight championship box off at 165, I think it was. And Abraham, when he stepped up to that weight class, he wasn't as dominating as he was at the middleweight division.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like Frampton. He was a pleasure to watch.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. I'll start with you, Chris. Anthony Joshua and Pulev is set for July 11th. What do you think of that fight?
You know what? I like Joshua. I think, you know, he's got some growing pains to go through. But I think he's learned a hell of a lot, and I think he's probably today more of a complete fighter than he was when he first beat the Russian, you know, when he first beat that, when he won the title, got knocked down. Mm-hmm. He proved he could get up, you know, and took a punch, and he blasted the champion out of there. I mean, I like him. I think that I don't see how he can lose this fight coming up. Mm-hmm. If that's the one that's being made, I have to pick him.
Yeah.
I like him. He's a big guy.
Yeah, there's a lot of question about his jaw. You know, if he takes a hard one to the jaw, that he's going to go down and stay down.
Well, he got up once, and he did get up when he fought that little, the fat Mexican. What's his name?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he fought him, he got up a couple of times. I mean, that shocked me that he did get knocked out by that guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like him. I think he's going to mature into a really good. He's a young guy. He only had a few fights. He only had about 14 fights when he won the title. What the hell do you learn in 14 fights? 15
right.
fights. I think he's gonna be one of those guys going to get better as time goes on. And I don't see him losing.
What do you think?
Well, as far as Joshua and Pulev knows, he's a more schooled boxer than Anthony Joshua. But he's not a better boxer. He's not a better in the ring than Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
Pulev's big also, but he's not quite as big as Joshua. And Pulev is not as young as Joshua, more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be, I like the fight for Joshua, although it still could be a potentially dangerous fight. Because, as I said, if a heavyweight catches an open chin, things happen.
Right.
And Joshua's chin is not exactly closed, to be honest. Mm-hmm. He has holes. You might not want to just be too careful with Pulev to let Pulev find a groove. You know, he doesn't want to sit back and just jab, because I don't anticipate that Pulev would let him do that as much as he wants to. But I don't think Pulev could really do anything with Joshua inside. So it's all in Joshua's head right now to me. Really, he has the potential to get a little better, to find, you know, as far as the little nuances and the little intricate things in boxing, he has the potential to get better with those. As far as getting any majorly better, I hate doing this, but I have to disagree with Dr. Chris. I think Anthony Joshua kind of is who he is right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see him turning into a exceptionally better boxer than who he is right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's a tough guy, but he's also a bit chinny. And as I said, he's a guy who hits hard, but he doesn't always get there. It takes him a minute to get there at times. He's also a guy who will run out of steam in the middle of a fight. Around round five,
mm-hmm.
he'll run out of steam. So as I say, I mean, and these have been things that he's kind of always had. And when you see a guy always having these things, and even during his progression, those things are still prevalent, then that leads me to believe then that's just him. That's just going to be him throughout his career. Now, he has the physical abilities and, you know, a lot of boxing acclimate to, you know, negate a lot of those things, but I mean, certain opponents, I think can kind of expose that, no matter, you know, what if he is on a good night or not. So, I mean, Pulev is not the guy that I see exposing that, not especially at this stage of Pulev's career and at this stage of Joshua's career.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got our last match here. I wanted to ask Bob about Kevin Lee and Oliveri. supposed to be, again, that was a fight that was supposed to have gone off last week but was canceled.
Yeah, I'm not following. I don't follow the fight nights all that much. I'm sorry about that.
Okay.
That one got pushed off. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's pushed off now till the end of May.
He's a lot to push everything off, though. He was hoping that this COVID or whatever would blow over, and he didn't want to cancel anybody because, like we were talking about earlier, as a fighter, the worst thing ever is going through a weight cut and showing up and then not getting that fight. You know, you got your fight camp, you put everything into it, your heart, you know, blood, sweat, and tears, and then, you know, the weight cut's the worst. Like, that's, now that I'm older and stuff, you know, I'm a coach, I got a belly on me or whatever, and, you know, I don't care. I'm, like, over the whole weight cut thing, you know, just too many times have I, you know, had to starve myself, and then too many times also, you starve yourself, you get there, you get ready, and then the other person doesn't make weight, or, you know, they cancel the fight, or something. And it's just horrible to do. So I don't think Dana wanted to put these guys through that because they were in the middle of their fight camps and they were, you know, all ready, you know, to go. And, you know, maybe if he would have just, you know, canceled it and just not the crowds or I don't know. There's no way to really get around it, though. So he had to do what he had to do, pushed everything else last minute. It's just I feel bad for all the fighters.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, guys, I want to thank you again for a great show. It's been terrific being with all of you again. Chris, I'm really glad to hear you got some good news from the doctors. I'll talk to you later on about a couple of things that came up that I forgot. Maybe you can ask that hematologist. There's another product out there I want to talk to you about. So I'll give you a call on that one.
Okay.
Bob,
all right.
I appreciate all the time and effort you put into helping us out here. It's really it really made the expanded our line. To be honest with you, we've added 27,000 new listeners since you've been on. So we got to give you credit for that.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. And it's always fun talking with you guys. I learn something new every week.
Great. And see, you're my main man. Always have been, always will be. You and Ty and your dad were always the fun part of being at St. Peter's, and definitely the fun part on Christmas Eve and when your mom graduated from nursing school. The times we had together with our families has always been a joy and will always be an ingrained memory for me. So you want to lead us out?
Thank you very much, Butch. Another wonderful show. I want to thank Bob, thank Dr. Chris. These shows are definitely in memory of Bob and Coach Mel. And if anyone wants to hear any fighting words, please do call. Everyone, please stay safe, stay informed, and do your research. Butch?
Yep, and please make sure that you wash your hands often, that you sanitize anything that you touch when you go out into the market or whatever. And please be safe out there. We really appreciate each and every one of our listeners and each and every one of our staff members. So we hope you have a healthy and happy week coming up. These programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces and the men and women of Police and Fire Services. When you're out there and you see somebody in uniform, please make sure that you let them know that you know they're there. These programs are dedicated to those who lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Banger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Kendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Anasso Crispin, Lakeland PD, Chief Al Hogo, Longwood Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PA Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Department, Patrolman Robert Germain, Windermere, Florida Police Department, Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, Patrolman Charlie Condit, Tarpon Springs Police Department, Hillsborough County Deputy Sheriff Charlie Kotloff, Corporal James O'Connor, Philadelphia Police Department, Delaware State Trooper Sergeant Rodney Bond, Captain Chris Sleach, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Jerry Ficus, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Arith Hope, Wilmington Fire Department, FDLE Special Inspector Vinny Galaccio, Delaware State Trooper Corporal Stephen Boward, Kissimmee Patrol Officer Matt Baxter, Kissimmee Sergeant Sam Howard, Captain Matt Laterno, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Bill Gentry, Highlands County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Clay Zerba, Clay County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Natalie Corona, L.A. County Sheriff's Department, Deputy April Rodriguez, Pasco County Sheriff's Department, Officer Robert McKetchin, Biloxi, Kentucky Police Department, and Trooper Joe Bullock, Florida Highway Patrol. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time will be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the rose rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sun shine lightly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hollow of his hands. Good night, God bless, and have a great week.
Shem Alekma Yilama Shem Ahezah Yilama Son Hashem Evorat Fet Hakuig Again Ma'ilma
All units be advised, 1999's responded to his last emergency. May God rest his soul. Good night, Bob. We love you and we miss you.